I don't know.
There's two more points, and then we switch into the second phase of this whole topic, okay? Which is the meat wine phase, which is another interesting Gemara. Okay, but there's two questions left I wanted to answer. One question's I think a little more significant. The second one is not as important, but it's still interesting. So the first one was, is there oneg on yontif or not? So it was like this. We something called tevel. Okay, what does tevel mean? I pick produce in the field, right? And because it's not just Meiri, the Avud Ram mentions there's actually. I mean, that's actually pretty amazing to go this far. When I found this, I was like, it's pretty cool. He says that you make a bracha of the Hadin Yashar Shabbos on your lighting your candles. He says, but by according to one shita, by yontif, there was this guy brings down. They did not have the minhag to make a bracha. Why? Because the candle near Shabbos is part of Oneg Shabbos, right? Now, that's only court. Why would you not make a bracha on Ner Shal Yontif? Because there's no Oneg, okay? And then you have the Beis Halevi. Again, we don't have to go into it, but the Beis Halevi has a nice... yeah, I know. Let's just show you. See? But what's the upshot? The upshot is that... Whereas you guys saw the Rambam, right? So the Rambam makes it clear that Oneg applies to Yontif, just like applies to Shabbos, but you have this additional idea of Simcha that applies to Yontif as well. So I just want to know, this doesn't have to be such a deep idea. I'm just curious, what's the machlokas? Right? Right? What's the machlokas? What's the machlokas to say that Yontif is just Simcha? Right? Or to say, no, it's Oneg and Simcha? And you got to be, I mean, again, I want a very surface idea here because I hear someone, no, what I mean is I hear someone chirping in my ear is going to say, like, one second, don't we have to go through the whole area of Oneg to understand this? Or the whole area, what? I'm just saying, so that's why I'm countering by saying, I just want like a basic insight, right? Because you're right, we could, okay, but just to make sure on the same page, does everyone, give me examples, let's use some easy examples. Give me examples, I want to keep it in one category. Give me examples of eating Oneg. Like, what's examples of Oneg eating wise? Shabbos.
No. Eating cholent. Eating cholent.
The easy example, Oneg, guys, the easy example of Oneg, three meals on Shabbos, okay?
Yeah.
That's like, just think about that. You're chayv to have, which what I would call two plus, meaning you have to have, you have your normal two meals you have every day, speak. That became a lachified, plus a third meal, an additional meal. Yes, Sudash Lashay, thank you. Okay, so what would be a nafkamina between Oneg and Yontif or not? Three meals, right? It's a easy nafkamina. Right. All right. Now, I'm not giving it as far. I'm just saying, if you want to think of it, I want to keep it in the category of, let's say, food, right? That just makes it easier. Because we know, by Yontif, Simcha's expression is expressed through food, right? And as the Gemara said so far, we'll see that how it's going to change today. And then we have, let's say, food by Oneg. What's the machlokas here, out of curiosity? What's the machlokas? At the end of the day, it just sounds like we package everything. It's very nice. Good. I should say the word service more often. Anyway, at the end of the day, it sounds like there are two basic approaches, right? Which I think they're both valid approaches. One approach is to keep it as binary as possible, meaning is Yontif and Shabbos really one overarching phenomenon, right? And like Yontif is a modifier Shabbos, so they're two separate Kedusha Siyams. Or, which is a little more nuanced, is to say that there's an idea of Shabbos where you do acts of Oneg come to differentiate Shabbos, which definitely fits into the language, I would argue, language of the Rambam, acts as you that show that Shabbos is unique. Right, and without getting into how that works, remind me on Shemini Atzeres when I give that shiur over how that works. But it's an idea that Shabbos, it's because of the inevitability of Shabbos that works. But Yontif naturally is differentiated in the calendar, so if it's naturally differentiated, if it's a naturally differentiated Yom, so then there's no need. That breaks. It's a different model altogether. But again, that's building off, so to speak, what Shank is saying. You know what I mean? In other words, you're saying. You're adding more creativity to the mathematical mind of a Shank. Shank just sees X's and Y's, right?
He's a practical guy.
No, this is even less important. But it's because it's a funny question. It's the kind of question that in halachic sense, it's interesting because you have the question of where's the piece of paper? Here, no, that's the wrong one. Thanks. Yeah. So you have this question here. So you have the Mordechai quotes this Agon. Who basically says that insists over and over again that Rosh Hashanah should be treated like every Yontif. Okay? Now, of course, I'm saying, before I tell you what Tosos says, in other words, if you didn't know what Tosos is about to say, what would your Havamina be as to why you would think Simcha would apply to Rosh Hashanah? What I just want to know is that you have a machlokas here, should Simcha apply to Rosh Hashanah or not? But when we say Rosh Hashanah, we don't mean Rosh Hashanah as the day of judgment. What we mean is a day where there's no Korban Simcha. That's really the point of contention here. In other words, is the korban simcha, is that the component required to say that now this is a can be a yom simcha or not? So according to Mordechai, he would say there's no. We don't care about the korban simcha. It's a chag. It's a moed. It's a moed. Whereas the other side says no. Tosfos says no korban simcha. Now, by Tosfos is rise. See, the old question, right? So we know that yantav. If I ask you, what's the defining feature of yantav? Okay, meaning now again, I'm going to use a philosophical term, but I don't mean it philosophically. Like yantav is always about hashgacha. Okay, as far as I need to go, that's it. Okay, good. So the whole question comes up is that each yantav, right, is its own unique expression of whatever, right? So you have Pesach is one type of da da da. So then you can evaluate each yantav and determine. So that's why the reason why I say it's box is it works just as well by halal too. By the way, yeah. It works by halal. The same idea. Right. Okay. Whereas the other way says no, you have the idea of Beit Kedushas Yom. In fact, it seems like the Mordechai is pushing that point as much as possible. It's moed, right? Meaning they all share in common one idea, which is all Kedushas Yom. So of course it has to apply. You know? That is a huge. Now, out of curiosity. All right, stop. Okay, translate.
Braisa, that a person has to make his children and his house happy on the regel.
See, now, just stop for 1 second, though. Again, I'll read it again slowly, and just I ask, Chayav Adam Lissameach Banav Mei Beisa Beregel. Just let's unpack that. Okay,
Right. To create an environment of simcha.
Well, you're at nurse. What I want to know first and foremost is what does it mean lissameach? How do you missameach someone else?
Well, you give them the.
I understand. What?
Whatever makes them happy.
Whatever makes them happy, right? Okay,
well,
so let me.
Well,
good. No, great. Right. But let me ask you a question. But before you read on, what about him?
Well, it's assumed that he's going to miss a meal.
What? We know that that's coming up. I'm just saying.
He's going to miss a meal.
Yeah, in other words, miss a meal would imply that what's my... If I ask you right now, what's the chiyuv? Right? The chiyuv is that...
Make other people happy. Yeah, but that's like saying
Talmud
Torah.
When are you chai to miss a meal then? On the rego, right? Bar rego. Meaning on yontiv itself is when the obligation exists to go ahead and make them happy.
Constantly,
right? That's a good question too. We'll see. I mean, we'll see what that means. And on top of that also... Again, who do Bnei Beis refer to, by the way? It's actually important nafkamina.
It sounds like his son.
If I had to live in, right, they'd be included as well. Yeah, meaning it's everyone in my household.
People, yeah.
Okay. So, this because it says, v'samachta b'chagecha. Right? Now, how do they determine, if you read the rest of the pasuk, right, v'samachta b'chagecha, you, ata, which this doesn't include right now, right, uvin chavitecha.
You have to do it to all those people.
Right, now let me ask another question. How could, but the mitzvah could have been formulated how? I know I'm being completely hypothetical. No, I know I'm saying, but what could the mitzvah have been also? That everyone's chayv in simcha, right? Yeah. In other words, we are automatically being told, before you get to this Gemara, what you would think is, let's go back to Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yeshua. In their world, right? So I would say at that point in time, everyone across the board is obligated. Let's assume women also. Everyone across the board is obligated to either choose the learning or the eating road. To make it simple. Or do the chatzel shem chatzel lechem, right? Okay. Universal.
It's just formulated the same way as Shabbos. I feel like it's not that crazy.
Is it?
Yeah, Shabbos is like...
How do you make them happy? How do you make them happy? Bameh misamcham.
Misamcham b'yayin, with wine. Rabbi
Yehuda. All right, so let's start. So again, one at a time. So the first thing the Gemara says is, what do you do with wine? Okay. So every year, I used to give my kids when they were 3 or 4 lots of wine. Go on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Anashim b'roi lehem, v'nashim b'roi lehem.
Okay, so automatically, what do we see right off the bat?
But there's different for men and women.
Now is that a havmin or a machlokas?
It's
sounds that way. No. Sounds like a machlokas. First side says, yain is objective.
Objective, subjective.
Right? Second, yeah, that's box.
Yeah, that
second, right. Second side say, no, men and women are different. Okay? Men and women are different. So if they're different, so what do? You give which one is roy for each gender. So when it comes to men... So they like wine.
The nashim, the mai.
So the Gemara is confused. All right, what do you get? What do you get for the women?
Tani, Rabbi Yosef, the bavel, the
big day pishdam. Migul Hudson, right? And Tosos mentions this is a famous thing. This happens in other areas also by doing laundry by Tisha B'Av. So it says issue of gihuts, which is a more sophisticated type of laundering. We'll put it that way. So the women of bavel, you buy them these dyed dresses, and then the women of Eretz Yisrael, you buy them linen dresses. Okay, now. that's also interesting. Because what's interesting about that differentiation? What's interesting about that?
It's different than that. I'd say it's like...
How far are you willing to go? Right. You could say... There's two ways you could learn this. You could say...
It's not each individual.
Well, you could say there's a category of clothing, and now there's just two... But there is within clothing some subjectivity, which gets very weird. Okay? But there is... Or the other way you could go, which is not as compelling, but it's interesting to explore, is that once you open up the door to subjectivity, the Gemara is giving examples. Now we're going to see if that's true. Just calm down. We'll see if that's true. Okay? Guys, we were talking we had a nice idea about the experiential aspect of Simcha. This is a very interesting idea, this concept of my chiyuv is to make someone else happy, to bring them into a state of happiness. It's a very fascinating formulation. Right, now of course basar here means what kind of meat? In the times of the temple, the what do you call it, Simcha came about only through the consumption of the meat of the korban. But today, v'achshav. Right, but today we say no. Simcha only comes about through
wine.
Through wine. Just out of curiosity, by the way, how does the Gemara know to turn to wine? Why wine? That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're going to have to explain that.
What do you mean? It's in the pasuk.
Why wine?
It's in the pasuk.
Yeah, they could have said eat meat, or they could have said something else.
No more.
No more, exactly. What Chazal could have said is that once the Korban Simcha ceases to exist, that's it for Simcha. We're done. This is another good example of when Chazal sense a problem. You know, they got to step in and fill in a void, but they could have said that. No Korban Simcha. No, Simcha Nyantav. The day the Simcha died. Okay? A lot to define here.
Well, that's like this.
And then we'll stop. Okay, just think about this. There is something interesting here because see, you do see one thing. Initially, according to the Gemara, Simcha was objectified. The only way to get happiness is through Korban Simcha, halachically, right? Now it's like once that disappears, you're going to see now this struggle of how do we incorporate the experiential idea of Simcha into a halachic formulation. Chazal have a much wider berth to work with. It's like once you abandon the Korban, it's a lot more room they have to maneuver to create a mitzvah. Okay, so we're going to have to explain how this works. So now we're getting again. This is the next stage. How do we get into the formulation of the mitzvah Simcha per se?